1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one whom Yahweh sent to anoint you as king over his people Israel. So listen now to what God Almighty says. He is going to punish the Amalekites because their fathers opposed the Israelites when they were coming from Egypt. Go and attack the Amalekites and completely destroy everything they have. Don't leave a thing. Kill all the men, women, children and babies, the cattle, sheep, camels and donkeys. Well, you might struggle with being told to do that, but all you can say is that God knows best. He knows that these people perhaps would have grown up to do great evil to the Israelites. And even if we do not completely understand all of God's ways, this is where faith in God comes in, because to believe in God literally means to trust in God. And of course, we are not going to understand everything about him and all his demands and all the things he does. But it comes down to trust. So Saul called his army together and inspected his soldiers at Telaim. There were 200,000 from Israel and 10,000 from Judah. He and his men went to the city of Amalek and were in ambush in a dry riverbed. He sent a warning to the Kenites, a people whose fathers had been kind to the Israelites at the time that they left Egypt. He said, go away from the Amalekites so that I will not kill you along with them. And the Kenites departed from them. That's rather like the call to come out from Babylon, lest we be consumed in the destruction. We have to separate ourselves from those who are going to be destroyed. Saul defeated the Amalekites. He fought all the way from Havilah to Shur, which is east of Egypt, and he captured the king of Amalek, Agag, and he killed all the people. But Saul and his men spared the life of Agag, and they didn't kill the best of the sheep and the best of the cattle, the best of the calves and lambs, or anything else that was good. They only destroyed what was useless or worthless. Well, effectively, they were offering to God what was useless. It's rather like at the time of Malachi, God complains that you offer to me your blind animals or your animals that have got a limp. God has the right to demand our very best because all that we have belongs to him. So we're not to say, well, I'll give you what I don't particularly want or need. We are to give him of our best. The Lord said to Samuel, I regret that I made Saul king, because he has turned from me and he has disobeyed my commandments. Samuel was angry, and all night long he begged the Lord. Early in the morning, he went off to find Saul and heard that Saul had gone to the town of Carmel, where he had built a monument to himself and had then gone on to Gilgal. Now that doesn't sound a great thing to do. That's not the way of humility, is it, to build a statue or monument in memory of yourself? Because it's God who will keep the record and it's God who will remember us. And the way that Saul is remembered by God in the Bible is not good. And you can't get round that by building some statue or monument of yourself. Samuel went up to Saul, who greeted him, saying, may Yahweh bless you, Samuel. I have obeyed the Lord's commandment. But Samuel asked, why then do I hear these cattle mooing and the bleating of the sheep? Saul answered, my men took them from the Amalekites. They kept the best sheep and cattle to offer as a sacrifice to Yahweh your God, and the rest we destroyed completely. Well, that wasn't true. They kept them for themselves. But now he's cornered and asked, well, what are you doing with all these good animals? He says, oh, we're going to sacrifice them to God. But you see, he talks about Yahweh your God. He doesn't say that God is his God. That's a terrible situation to be in. Although Jacob was like that, he used to talk about the God of his father Isaac until he was a really old man, and then on his deathbed almost he rejoices that this God is my God. Stop, said Samuel, and I will tell you what Yahweh told me last night. Even though you consider yourself of no importance, you are the leader of the tribes of Israel. Yahweh anointed you to be king of Israel, and he sent you out with specific orders to destroy the wicked Amalekites. You were told to fight until you had killed them all. Why then didn't you obey him? Why did you eagerly rush to seize the spoil for yourself and therefore do what displeases the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul replied. See, Saul is not penitent, is he? I went out as he told me to. I captured King Agag. I killed all the Amalekites. My men didn't kill the best sheep and cattle. Instead, they brought them here to Gilgal to offer as a sacrifice to Yahweh, your God. Samuel said, Yahweh does not particularly prefer offerings and sacrifices. He prefers obedience, because obedience is better than even sacrificing the best of the sheep to him. And rebellion against him is as bad as the sin of witchcraft, and pride is as bad as idolatry. Because you have rejected Yahweh's command, he has rejected you as king. Saul replied, I have sinned. Well, the thing is, it's a bit too late now, because he has been rejected. It's rather like people coming to the day of judgment at the last day, and we will all come to the day of judgment, and being condemned. Look, you didn't do what I asked you to. You were disobedient and just did what you wanted to do. And the people say, oh, yeah, I sinned. Well, it's too late, because now is the time to serve the Lord. And that is what's so important about how we live our lives now. Now, on average, people live maybe 70 or so years, and that's about 22,000 days. You've got to use each of your days for God and not just fritter away your days on your own pleasure. Well, yes, I've sinned, Saul replied, although he's saying this too late. I did disobey the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of my men, and I did what they wanted. Well, even though he's saying he's sorry, he's still like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's still finding excuses. Like she says, well, yes, but the serpent deceived me. And Adam says, well, yes, but she, my wife, gave it to me. So he says, well, I was frightened of my men. I did what they wanted. But now I beg you, forgive my sin and return with me so that I can worship the Lord. I will not return with you, Samuel replied. You've rejected the Lord's command, and he's rejected you as king of Israel. Samuel turned to leave, but Saul caught hold of his cloak, and it tore. Samuel said to him, well, Yahweh has torn away the kingdom of Israel from you and given it to a man who is better than you. The great, majestic God of Israel will not change his mind. He is not a man to change his mind like this. I have sinned, Saul replied, but at least show me at least some honor in the eyes of the leaders of my people and all Israel. Please return with me so that I can worship Yahweh your God. So Saul went back with him, and Saul worshipped Yahweh. So for Saul, it was all about appearances. It was all about being seen as okay and a zealous worshipper of Yahweh in the eyes of people. And all right, so he got that for this moment. But what is that? So what if people think well of you or think a certain way of you at one point in time or even for all your life? This life is just nothing. It's just a millimeter. It's just a tiny speck compared to eternal life that is like a long, long line with no end. So desperately wanting to be seen as good in the eyes of men is a really pathetic, foolish attitude to have. And yet, very intelligent people give their whole lives just to be seen in the eyes of men as acceptable. Samuel ordered, bring this King Agag here to me. Agag came to him, trembling with fear, thinking to himself, how bitter is death. But Samuel said, as your sword made many mothers childless, so now will your mother become childless. And he cut Agag into pieces in front of Yahweh in Gilgal at the altar. Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went home to Gibeah. As long as Samuel lived, he never again saw the king, but he grieved over him. And Yahweh repented that he had made Saul king of Israel. So to repent is to rethink, to think again. And that is what God did, and he thought again, and it's going to read in the next chapter, he chose David to be king.